Welcome to Ask and It Is Given. For almost 20 years, Esther and Jerry Hicks have brought forward the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham to audiences worldwide. These energies speak through Esther as they answer questions and offer teachings from their non-physical perspective. In the next hour, you'll hear Esther Hicks and Abraham explain many powerful laws of the universe and answer questions from audience members. Today's show was recorded in Los Angeles, California in 2001.
You're knowing what you're wanting. It changes, expands, becomes more. You are continual amenders of your desire. All of that plus this, a little more of this, a little less of this. You are understanding and appreciating the contrast that assists you in this continuing defining process. You understand that it is not only appropriate that you continue to define your desire, but that you came forth to do just that, that you are creators who, through the power of focus, literally create. It pleases you to feel your desire expanding. Have you come to the place where you have a desire that has been identified, clearly focused within you? You know you want it. It has not yet manifested. You know you want it, and you are still all right with that. This is good. Many find themselves knowing very fully what they want, but knowing even more fully where they stand in relationship to it. And the fact that their desire has not yet happened has more of their attention than the idea of the desire being fulfilled. And so as they are disappointed or fitful or impatient about it not yet happening, without knowing it usually, they stand in a place of disallowing it. There are three things that are necessary in order to satisfy any creation. The first is to identify the desire, to want it. An even better way of putting that is to ask for it, because to want it is to ask for it. Did you know that? Many think that the asking must come only with words, but the wanting itself is an asking. And so when there is a desire that is born within you, you are asking, and step one has taken place. You are asking on many levels of your being. There is cellular asking. There is full conscious asking. Every consciousness asks, and every consciousness is answered. Did you know that? Many of our physical human friends don't know that, don't believe it even when they hear us say it, because they are certain that they have asked for things that have not been answered. But that has never been the case. Every request, conscious or unconscious, cellular or fully asked from your full conscious awareness, every asking is answered every single time without exception. The third part is the missing link for so many, and that is, once you have asked, and you do it all the time, and once universal forces have answered, and that happens every time, you must be in the receiving mode in order to let it in. And that's the part that if you have things wanted that are not coming, or if you are holding experiences that you would like to release that you are not releasing, the reason that things are not more the way you want them to be in every single case is because there is something a little screwy with your receiving mode. Now, it's easier to understand your receiving mode when you begin to think in terms of vibration. And yet vibration from your physical human format is not the easiest thing to contemplate. In other words, we can hear you getting it when we say ask and it is given, because you can imagine yourself asking for something and you can imagine someone giving it to you. But when you are talking about your universal place, when you are talking about creating in this vibrational universe, then it is helpful if you begin thinking in terms of the asking that is happening vibrationally and the answering that is happening vibrationally and the allowing or letting it in or receiving that is happening vibrationally. And when you decide that you are going to become a part of this conscious vibrational creating world, and we promise you everything is vibrational, When you decide that you're going to take that giant step into being consciously aware of vibration, then a very simple mechanism within you will guide you fully. And that is your emotional guidance system. Because your emotions are within you in order to help you understand vibration. Everything about your perceptual experience here in this physical body is vibrational interpretation. But because you are so good at it, you don't know you're doing it. You don't stop to recognize that what you're seeing in the landscape of your vision is vibrational interpretation. And very few of you stop to recognize that in your dreamscape, that what you're dreaming about with your eyes closed, that is often very fully visual, is also vibrational interpretation. In other words, vision, even that which you see with your eyes, is more about vibration than it is about your eyes. Your eyes are the mechanism that interprets the vibration. Your ears are the mechanism or the tool or the device, the part of you that interprets the vibration of sound and gives you that experience. You interpret with your fingertips and with your nose and with the taste buds on your tongue. But the most significant vibrational interpreters that we're wanting to remind you about is the vibrational interpretation that is within your solar plexus. Many of you refer to it as emotion. Your emotions are supreme, fine-tuning vibrational interpreters. And you can feel with this solar plex emotional center, you can feel everything that you need to know about the content of your vibration. You can tell how much desire is going on. You can tell how much of part one you've got focused within you by the intensity of the vibration. And you can tell, most significantly, how much of your desire you are in the mode of allowing by the way you feel in any moment. If you feel strong, positive emotion like passion or exhilaration or joy, that means that in this moment you have a strong desire that is focused and you are not disallowing in any way. In other words, you are in the full state of receiving. If you've been listening to us for some time, you heard us say in earlier dialogues, if you have a desire and you believe it, then it is. And that was exactly the same thing as saying as when you have a desire and you are a vibrational match to that desire, then it is. Which is the same thing as saying when you have a desire and you feel good when you think about it, then it is. Which is the same thing as saying when you have a desire, which is a satellite beaming signal, and you are locked onto that signal, then it is. Which is the same thing as saying, when you are in the receiving mode, then it is. Which is the same thing as saying, when you are letting it in, then it is. Which is the same thing as saying, when you are a vibrational match to your own desire, then it is. Which is the same thing as saying, when you feel good when you think about what you want, then it is. Which is the same thing as saying, when you have launched a desire and you are holding yourself for whatever reason in the place of feeling good, even if you are not thinking about your desire, even if you have put your brain on pause, even if you are in the state of meditation, even if you are petting your cat, even if you are dangling your feet in the river, once you have launched a desire, unless you are doing something that contradicts that desire, which is always evidenced by negative emotion, then it is. Can you hear that? You do not have to hold yourself conscientiously, deliberately focused upon your desire in order for your desire to be. You just cannot be doing something that does not let it in. So you say, well, every time I think about money, I get that fearful thought because money just feels that way to me. I've practiced it for so long. Fear and money are synonymous in my experience, or not enough and money are synonymous in my experience. And we say, now hear this. This is the most significant thing you will ever hear. If you have a subject that makes you uncomfortable when you think about it, it means there is strong desire related to it, which means it really, really matters. So finding a way to think about it and feel good is your work. This is your assignment. But it is equally effective to think about anything else and feel good and let it in. You don't have to think about money in order to let in money. You just can't think about lack of money to let in money. Sometimes physical beings will say, well, I'm afraid that I've missed my opportunity. I wanted it and my window opened, but I wasn't there for it, and so my window closed. And we say, that window is always open. You may close it for a moment, but it opens right up again. In other words, the universe never stops hearing you and never stops answering you. You are deserving beyond our ability to find words to explain. And it is your job to find yourself in that place of letting it in. Now, we know that a feeling of worthiness does let it in. And we know that there are many of you who have, for whatever reason, decided that you're not worthy, and that might be the reason that you're not letting it in. But we don't think it is the predominant reason. We think that there are about 2,000 things that you're doing every day that you're doing that you haven't been aware that you are doing that you think is all right to do, because after all, it's true, you see? And as you come to recognize that even though it's true, doing it, saying it, feeling it is holding yourself, deliberately or not, in the place of not letting yourself be in the receiving mode of the very things that you're asking for, and the slightest little adjustment will begin to cause avalanches of stuff you've been asking for to flow into your experience. We're not just talking about the material manifestation, although those are wonderful things. We want you to have all of the material things that you want, but we're talking about also clarity in the moment, or the sensation of vitality. We're talking about a feeling of awareness, a feeling of being in the moment. We're talking about saying the right thing at the right time. We're talking about being intuitive so that you know what freeway to take, so that you sense whether there's a blockage somewhere or somewhere else. We're talking about being so in sync with who you really are that you have broader view flowing through you at all times, so that you are the full, blossomed, non-physical energy in human form that you've come forth here to be. You are the extension of pure positive energy. You said, I will come forth into this leading edge environment where contrast is at its absolute best, where desires will be formulated within me and rockets of desires will be born, and I will find vibrational harmony with the rockets that I'm launching, and I will live happily ever after in this never-ending, expanding experience. You said, I will let joy be my dominant quest. Because when I'm seeking joy, I'm locked on to my source, I'm locked on to my signal, and all that I desire must be received by me. And then you come forth into your physical bodies, and some of you sort of forget that. As you begin sifting through the data, you begin facing the reality of what is, seeing things wanted, yes, and feeling good, but seeing things not wanted and shouting no. And in that shouting no, you develop patterns of resistance that hold you not in the receiving mode. Good. You've heard everything that is significant to anyone, anywhere, anytime. You'll never hear anything other from us that is significant enough to make mention of. We'll stay anyway. You're ready to begin? We'll come back to you right here on the third row, then right here.
Could you just talk a little bit about the experience that, you know, people who've made their transition are having?
Well, the transition in a non-physical is delicious beyond physical description, because it is a moment, and even trying to quantify it in time is inappropriate. It's a moment where all discomfort of any kind leaves simultaneously. So every fear leaves, every doubt leaves, all feelings of self-denial and self not appreciation, all blame and guilt and sorrow and sadness, all lifts in something that, if you were feeling it physically, it would feel a little bit to you like you were covered in a giant spider web and someone has just taken hold of the web and they're just pulling it and it's just rippling off of you, and the sensation of relief is beyond description. It is the sensation of well-being replacing the resistance that has not allowed it. It's like Esther remembers being in Fresno and for many, many weeks a heavy fog being over the city in the winter. It was they call it a tule fog, and morning, noon, and night it's there and you can barely see a few feet in front of you. And several of them would get in their cars and drive up to the mountains. And there was this moment where you're winding in the fog, winding in the fog, winding in the fog, having been there for weeks, and then lifting out of it into the sunshine. That just takes your breath away. It's the feeling of spirits lifting times a million. In other words, we can't begin to describe the feeling. The best word for it is relief. Relief of the repression of spirit. Now, of course, those of you who are meditating, those of you who are looking for positive aspects, those of you who are having rampages of appreciation, those of you who are aware of that thing you do, who are bringing yourself from it, your feeling of relief will be dramatic, but not as dramatic. In other words, it depends upon how far from that you are. But it is always a supremely delicious experience where your full awareness of your goodness and your value is known fully within you. It's a moment of utter knowing of well-being, which means it's a moment of utter knowing of all that isness. It's becoming in a moment the holder of all knowledge that you have ever been looking for. It's a feeling of expanded intelligence, of infinite intelligence, but it is not the feeling of more than you can cope with. It's the feeling of all imperfect balance and alignment. The best descriptive words are a feeling of well-being, but even those words do not serve the feeling accurately. You will never really know unless you tap in yourself. And when you tap in, you will get a fuller picture.
I have three sons, and it's my youngest son that I'm most concerned with. The two older are in their 40s, and this younger one is 37. And he has special needs. Part of the diagnosis has been Asperger's syndrome, which is a form of autism. He's been able to work. He lives by himself. But his entire life, probably from the time he was three, is that the whole family is so involved in trying to help him, to maintain work, to support him emotionally. He's very deeply sensitive. He picks up the needs of so many people around him. But just this past week, again, he lost his job, so we all get involved again. And what happens, it just keeps bringing us down. And I need some help. I think we all do.
When you are helping someone, what is it about that that brings you down?
For one thing, in most of his life, he's been very, very deeply depressed. And I think when we tap into help, we just move right into that space. There has been so little joy in his life. And when you see somebody that you care so much about, so I think we just move into that energy field, and it seems like we just don't get anywhere. It just keeps going down.
How is it that he gives you the impression of his sadness? In other words, where do you get that from him?
That he's never had a significant relationship in his life.
Does he complain about that?
Mm-hmm.
What does he say?
That he's never had any women in his life, that he's never really, that he doesn't do any work like the rest of us do, in which we have a lot of joy in what we do. And it doesn't seem fair to him, he says, that he can't find that, and we have. He doesn't see the whole picture of why we are where we are. And I don't know whether that has to do with the autism or not.
Well, the reason that we're putting the questions to you in the way that we are is because we notice, as we see you all interacting with one another, that it really is not a possible thing for anybody to measure the happiness or sadness of any other, because the way you feel, your entire emotional basis is every single time, there are no exceptions to this, it is the reading between your vibrations, meaning it is literally the vibrational signal or blending or harmony or disharmony between a dominant vibration that you would call desire and a dominant vibration that you would call belief or normal pattern of thought. Now, to help you to understand this, we're going to leave that subject of your son for just a moment. It would be like you living your lifestyle here in this nation and finding your standards of living and then going to visit someone in what you would call a very underdeveloped country and finding amazement at the seeming poverty in which they live and feeling such discord within yourself as you are trying to make your way in that environment. And yet when you look at them, they do not seem unhappy. You can't imagine how they stand it. But it's because the range between their desire and their belief is not a great range. But the range between your desire for them and what they are living is a much greater range. So you suffer much more for them. We see this all the time with counselors and teachers. You suffer so much more than those that you are trying to help because you are overlaying your standards. And so you're getting an accurate reading. And that's the reason that we were asking, are you actually hearing this discomfort from him? And then we want to ask you, how much of it do you think is learned behavior? You said we all sort of rush in. And we know that there is this very powerful tendency to want everyone to live as well as I do. Those in underdeveloped countries and certainly my very own son. We as a family all rush in, you say, and it's well-meaning, but what you're really doing is overlaying your expectations upon his ability to achieve. And so part of that gap is being exaggerated because of all of that. You see, the thing that we want to bring you to a place of knowing is that this underdeveloped country that we're talking about is not inappropriate in any way. It has different desires and different standards, and it is not lesser than, it is just different.
Even if it complains all the time.
But the complaining really happens when the missionaries go to the underdeveloped country and show them pictures of the way life should be. In other words, they're not unhappy in their nakedness until the missionaries come and convince them about the inappropriateness of their bodies. What we're saying is, as the missionary, you might want to back off a little bit. And you say, well, hasn't it already happened? In other words, haven't we so long been involved in this? What do I do now? At any time, you can begin your positive expectation on behalf of another. And the message that you're most wanting to reflect back is the message that he came to teach. And that is, we did not all come to do it the same way. We did not all come to be alike. We came as a diverse bunch of non-physical energies wanting different experiences. And it's not an easy thing for you to convey to him your appreciation of his difference when you don't really feel it. And it's not a surprise that you don't really feel it. Most of your world is wanting him to be different. It would be a lot easier if he could have just been born normally and if he could just be living a normal life. But he didn't. And he didn't with very good reason. And the very good reason is because he's wanting to spread the philosophy of the balance and value of diversity. And so as you begin to look at this as a good thing, not a bad thing, so that you really, really feel it, then as you visit with him, your appreciation of him will come across to him and your disapproval of him will subside. It is not an easy thing. We know. We see it with so many of you in even in less extreme situations than this. When someone offers complaint, especially someone that you care about, there is an almost immediate desire that comes forth within caregivers like you to rush in and make it better. And there is something that so many of you forget, and that is that there is disempowerment that takes place in that. Because right along with the gift comes an equally strong statement that says, I see that you're not able to do this for yourself. And this is true whether you're giving money or whether you're giving advice. Do you ever have somebody give you advice and you say, oh, well, I wasn't really asking for that. Every now and again, Esther will say that. Well, I wasn't really asking for that advice. And Jerry says, yes, you were. You were asking with your complaint or you were asking with your acknowledgement that things are not exactly as you want them to be. There are so many people around that are just looking for opportunity to serve that the slightest little statement of disgruntlement causes a desire within you to come forth and fill that. You are a caregiver by nature, but you're wanting to sort of back off from that a little bit and realize that what you really are is an empowerer by nature.
Stay with us for more of Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture brought through Esther Hicks from the evolved consciousness collectively known as Abraham. To learn more about Esther Hicks and Abraham, visit hayhouse.com.
I'm Summer McStravick, and maybe you've heard my show, Flow Dreaming. I teach you about a powerful method for manifesting, and if you want to continue your learning, please visit flowdreaming.com. There you'll find articles, my book, and many guided Flow Dreaming CDs. And if you sign up for my newsletter, you'll get a free MP3 download. So continue your search for truth at flowdreaming.com.
Banish anxiety, distress, and depression to make 2007 your best year yet. Join Dr. Eve Wood, psychiatrist and best-selling author, for a life-changing weekend workshop based on her new book, 10 Steps to Take Charge of Your Emotional Life, at The Crossings in Austin, Texas, February 9th through 11th. Discover how to harness your inner healer and transform your life. For information, visit www.thecrossingsaustin.com. Would you like to make a living by making a difference? Join success coach and author Michael Neal in New York City on the 20th and 21st of January for Coaching Mastery, a two-day intensive workshop to take your coaching, your practice, and your life to the next level. To learn more, visit us online at www.geniuscatalyst.com. That's geniuscatalyst.com.
See Bishop Jordan live in a city near you in his new The Laws of Thinking 2007 book tour. This transformational lecture will show you how your thoughts have the power to shape your life. Nothing happens without thought. Bishop Jordan will help you think, understand, and organize your thoughts into a system that will ensure abundance in your life. Why settle when you can have all you desire? Plus, Bishop Jordan will be answering questions and signing books after every lecture. Call now, 800-654-5126, or visit www.hayhouse.com.
Take a vacation to the Mediterranean with Sylvia Brown and find the answers you've been searching for. Join Sylvia and spiritual intuitive Colette Baron-Reed for the all-new 2007 Spiritual Connections Cruise to the Mediterranean, departing from Rome on September 25th. During this 10-night cruise, you'll meet Sylvia in person, enjoy hours of exciting workshops, and you can even ask Sylvia a question. Tickets will sell out, so call now, 888-259-9191, extension 1213, or visit www.sylvia.org.
Find spirituality in all of your relationships with world-famous psychic Sylvia Brown in her new 2007 Spiritual Connections Multi-City Tour. Let Sylvia guide you to more fulfilling relationships and help you attract more positive people in your life. Special bonus, intuitive Colette Baron-Reed is co-hosting this lecture with Sylvia and will provide live readings to select audience members. Tickets are selling fast, so call now, 800-654-5126, or visit sylvia.org.
Hello, I'm Louise Hay. Congratulations, you found us. Welcome to HayHouseRadio.com, radio for your soul.
We now return to Ask and It Is Given, a live lecture from Esther Hicks as she channels a group of evolved beings collectively known as Abraham.
One of the questions I have is, knowing that you exist in the realm you exist in, whatever realm that is, difficult for me to understand a little.
Not from your broader perspective.
Not from my broader perspective. What I want to know is, do you, I don't know whether you'd see like with eyes or something.
Do you think it's possible to know something that you can't put words to?
Yeah.
So you think it's possible to have knowing that you can't necessarily get thoughts around or verbalize?
Yeah, I believe that. What I want you to kind of share with me is, do you see God? Do you know God? Do you see it other than a knowing, in a way that you could explain it to me? Share with me a little bit of your understanding of that.
We are like you, in the sense that we see the manifestation of God all around. We see the result of that which you are calling God is. Are you asking if God can be quantified through sight? You might say you could see energy.
I would think it would be like an energy.
Are you asking if we know that which you are calling God? And we want to keep clarifying that, because a lot of different people mean a lot of different things when they use that word. And so...
all that is.
That idea of source energy that has involvement in all that is, that is the essence of pure positive energy, that has conscious awareness of every particle of everything that exists in the universe, that has the ability to focus infinitesimally or broadly, that has the ability to focus singularly or collectively, that has desire and expectation for a continuation of personal and global and universal well-being. Do we know that source? Indeed, we do. And you know it too when you allow yourself to. Someone asked us this question just recently. She said her idea of God was sort of suffering, that through time she had different perspectives, and that especially since listening to us, she was sort of losing her place with it, because she was actually preferring a more singular picture of someone more like a physical human who had your best interest at heart, who was always guiding you toward what would be best for you. And we say this source energy is all of that, but there is not a God that is wanting to make any decisions for you. It is an energy that knows that you are capable of making decisions and is rooting for you in the decisions that you are making. If you are wanting to know God, that's an easy thing, because you can feel it. As Jerry and Esther are moving about, one of their favorite things to do is, while Esther drives, Jerry reads the mail. And when they come to the hotel every Saturday, they get a big box from the office and all of the personal letters and everything that they think might be significant to Jerry and Esther are in the box. And then for the next few hours, Jerry is joyously making his way through the box and reading bits and pieces to Esther. And frequently, as Esther is hearing someone's letter, goosebumps will just bubble all up and through her. And she will say, well, that's a goosebumper. She almost always says to Jerry, are you getting them too? And usually if she is getting them, he is getting them. And they can feel this powerful connection that is not just the connection between the author of the letter and the hearers of the letter. It is that in the writing of the letter and in the reading of the letter, source energy has been brought into it. And there is a fully present moment happening where all that is having that moment in time. And so we think that there are many moments where you can know the fullness of that which you are calling God, while it can never be quantified in a visual or even spoken word.
The other thing that seems to be an issue of debate among people I know is that on the power of creating, that we feel that our inner being has something that it wants to experience or an agenda. And that being in this physical state, we work with our inner being. We're supposed to blend this, our physical self, with our inner being. And I've heard you say that there...
But before you go further, we want to clarify one little thing, and that is your inner being has an agenda of joyous expansion, but the details of it, all of the details of it, you get to choose.
We get to choose. So they just want the experience. The inner being wants the experience of joy.
The joyful experience, and you get to choose all of the details of that, you see. In other words, you are not a puppet on a string that your inner being is attempting to guide, any more than you are puppets on a string that God is trying to guide. In other words, people are doing the same thing to inner being now that they've been trying to do to God. It goes something like, I really want to be good. I'm not sure what good is. I'm not sure if I have the ability to make right decisions. So if you'll just tell me what good things to do, I'll do them. And then you just bicker and kill each other endlessly over who has the right idea.
Right.
You see. when what is really happening is you are an eternal being who eagerly came forth into this contrasting environment because you knew that it would provide this fresh new idea. It's what our friend was talking about earlier. It's what she's reaching for. She has tasted that delicious feeling of a desire being born within her, and now she wants more of it. And it is that feeling that you have when you come forth into your physical bodies. That's the spirit or the interest or the idea or the intent of you as you make the decision to come forth. I want to say to you, even if you, in your physical format, get in a state of not allowing, your inner being is still benefiting by your exposure to the contrast. And we also want to remind you that your inner being does not need any one of you specifically in order to have its joyous life experience. In other words, we're wanting to dispel here the feeling that you and the others that you are describing are having, that there is an agenda that somehow it is your job to fulfill. There is nothing like that. There is no agenda that
no agenda for
that
the
you
soul.
Have that you the soul has many intentions, but there is no even slight sense that you have some obligation to do this. However, does it feel like an obligation when you say, I'm on my way to such and such? Your friend says, where are you going? You say, I'm on my way to this really fun thing that I'm doing. Is there a difference between the way it feels or comes out when you say, I'm on my way to this really fun thing that I'm doing, or, yeah, I've got to go do this. I've got something I have to do. Humans want to lay over the soul part of them, I've got something I've got to do, when your soul is saying, I'm on my way to this really fun thing. That's the distinction that is different. And when you tap in to how your inner being feels, everything is personally desired. Everything is personally satisfied. You're on your way to upliftment. You're on your way to good times. You're on your way to expansion. You're on your way to exposure to more contrast. You're on your way to birthing of desires. You're on your way to birthing desires that you know you're not a match to, which gives you the opportunity to have all that fun of lining up with them. Then you're on your way to the manifestation of them, which means you're on your way to the new contrast, which means you're on the way to the birthing of another new exciting desire, which means you're on your way to focusing, which means you're on your way to alignment, which means you're on your way to more manifestations, which means you're on your way to more contrast, which, in other words, your inner spirit is just eager for the expanding, joyful experiences, you see. Your inner being never gathers stuff and drags it around and uses it as its justification for where I've been and how far I've come. Your inner being just stands with you where you are and reaches for the next fulfilling, satisfying thought and answers to no one except its own joyful inclination, which is what God is.
When you talk about all this joy and happiness, and this is all that the soul has come for, it's easy to understand. And yet, you want to trip yourself up a little bit on that thought when you think, well, what are all these other people here doing that are into all the negative stuff? And
what's happened to them is that they have just found thoughts to practice thinking.
Did their spirit want to experience this? Does their inner being have some?
In the sense that it is the contrast that gives birth to the next desire, yes. But the reason that they are having the negative experience or the negative feeling is because they're having a non-inner being moment. In other words,
their physical self has taken over.
If they were having an inner being moment, they would be having a joyful moment. The fact that it is less than joyful means they've chosen something vibrationally outside of the moment their inner being is having, and in fact, that is the reason it doesn't feel good, because they've gone off alone, so to speak. Not really, you can't. We're exaggerating that. But they've pinched enough of it off that it doesn't feel so good. That's why we're saying the answer is letting it back in. Well, I want to let it back in. How do I let it back in? By not thinking the thought that's keeping it out. By being aware of that thing you're doing that's not letting it in, you see.
I want to ask a question about aliens in relationship to this planet.
Interesting name, isn't it?
We're all aliens in
alien,
some way.
But what is the definition of alien? When you say it is an alien substance, what do you mean?
It's just not something that's usually in this area.
So it's something that's weird. We're just sort of vibing out the vibration around alien, whether you're talking about an alien being or whether you're talking about something that is alien.
Usually
it means something that doesn't fit, something that isn't.
I'm talking about life that exists not on this planet.
Then say that.
Okay, life that exists.
In other words, it's a whole different vibration that comes forth when you say that.
We'll do life on it that exists off this planet. That's out in the universe.
You know there's more life that exists off this planet than on it?
Yeah, I believe that.
So you are really the aliens?
Do you think that there will be other life coming onto this earth that's physically manifests itself different than we are, but it's life is life?
Not in the way that you're describing it, but here's what we think. We do know that when you have access to vibration, when you are able to give thought to something and therefore activate the vibration within you, then you have the ability to allow it or attract it or create it or manifest it in your experience. And so there is a lot of interplanetary, intergalactal, interuniversal thought, energy, therefore manifestation. In other words, your scientists, your inventors, very often get much of their inspiration from thought that is not based within the planet itself. We do not expect, in fact, we know that it cannot be, that another vibrational conglomeration of thought or system could manifest something and through time and space bring it to you here, because vibrationally it cannot cross that time and space. So what happens is the vibration, which is thought, which has no boundaries, is intermixed, and then the manifestation comes from within you.
Okay.
That's why you do not find little spaceships or little bones from other galaxies. In other words, everything that you have the ability to imagine, this time-space reality in which you live has the ability to produce. But it is part of the same creative process. In other words, when you really want to get to it, where did this planet come from anyway? Where did this stuff come from? It was not rocketed in from other planets. Where did it come from? It is thought that has been thought upon longer. In other words, there is thought, there is thought form, there is manifestation. And so, yes, you are inter-co-creating because thoughts are without boundary. And as enough of you then are in vibrational harmony with the thought, then it becomes your manifestation. But you are not coming across the airwaves in spaceships.
Thank you. And I wanted to tell you one other thing, that if you know any other entities within your realm that are looking for a vehicle, I'm available.
You're the one.
Okay, let's talk about letting it in. When you find yourself with company who they're in the habit of complaining, and you realize that you are... because obviously I've attracted this person, so therefore I too am in this habit.
But wait, this person that you've attracted is a multi-dimensional person. In other words, this person that you've attracted is not all complaining. A substitute school teacher one day was talking about the rotten kids in her class that were just making her crazy. And we told her that sort of, there's a long stream of energy about substitute teachers that she's dealing with. But her concern was, if these students are mistreating her so, and she believes in law of attraction, then something must be really wrong with her or with her vibration. And we said, but there are many students in the class that are not unkind, and you attracted them too. And so in like manner, we're saying to you, this person, this complaining sometimes person, has many aspects, some in harmony with your desires and some not in harmony with your desires, and you have attracted all of that. In other words, don't be so ready to say, well, there's somebody in my life that complains and therefore I'm probably a complainer. You may very well be. Most everybody is a little bit, but there are many positive aspects that cause the two of you to be co-creating too.
So while you're sitting in the space where the person is complaining and you're reaching for another thought, or you would like to appreciate out of that space?
Easier to do it after the fact. In other words, after they are not there in your face, and you take the time to practice the more positive aspects of that which they are, next time you are together, it will be easier for you to find the more positive aspects of that which they are.
Because I've practiced it.
Because you've practiced it, and you have brought it alive, you've activated it within yourself, and you have actually activated your next rendezvous with that. You have actually set that vibrational nucleus forward as a meeting place where the two of you will meet. And if you've spent a little bit of time at it and you've really become a vibrational match to it, they wouldn't even be able to rendezvous with you if they were not in that. In other words, something would go wrong. They'd get sick or something would come up. They wouldn't even be able to make the meeting with you.
These two areas I would like you to discuss in the context of the dematerialization of something that I wanted and was allowed and that I love and appreciate that might cease to exist in my experience, my home. And I guess my question is, what do you do when your allower stops allowing, if that's our relationship? And also, and I'm going to quit talking after this, you once said on a tape a few months ago, I lose track of time, that somebody was going to lose their house or something like that, and you said many of you, or the majority of you, or most of you would be much happier if you didn't have the responsibility of a house. And so that keeps coming into my head because I was struck by that.
It isn't just the responsibility of the house. In the disintegration of something wanted, there is a renewed desire for it. And that renewed desire moves much more energy through you that is very life-giving in nature. So that what we say is, if all of you, when you went home today, your homes had blown away, don't worry, they haven't, but if you went home and your homes had blown away, you would be happier in the days and weeks and months to follow than you would be if you went home and everything was normal. Because it causes more focus of desire. There's all this fresh new stuff pouring through you. It's like opening these spaces to new allowance. And, of course, in light of what we've been talking about here today, there is the potential of having agony in that, but there is the potential of having ecstasy in that, depending upon how much worrying about the past or how much justifying about why it had happened you're doing, which is holding you apart from letting it in. So often as physical creators, you come to identify yourself as a creator by your creations. And so you create money, or you create a car, or you create a mate, or you create a house. And then there's this tendency to begin to identify yourself as the creator who is the holder of all of these creations. And over time, you can't find yourself amongst all that you've amassed. So what we want to help you to do, and we think it is a very positive aspect of what you're living here, is to recognize that, let's say that you're in a situation where you're struggling as you first come together, and then your rockets of desire go out and you allow in the resources to satisfy that strong desire, and you say, oh, we're on our way. And then something happens and another rocket of desire goes off within you, and you find through trial and error ways to allow it. And so your life gets steadily better, meaning you get feeling steadily more confident. You get feeling freer all the time. You carry with you less resistance that you would call caring what other people think. And in the process of all of that too, you gather stuff. You gather remnants or examples or evidence of your successes. The thing that we most want you to hear is that if every one of those pieces or remnants of that success was gone from you, still you stand as the culmination of all that you've learned. And we don't mean learned in the sense that now you know how to do it again. We mean you have been the creation that has been in the process of being created. And here you stand as this now clearer, more focused wander and clearer, more focused allower than you've ever been before, which means you can take your next breath of desire and step into your next place of allowing, and all that you ever had and 10 times times more can be in your experience immediately when you accept that you are the asker and the receiver and the letter in of all of that, you see. There is tremendous advantage. We see so many people that have stuff or have remnants or acknowledgments of their successes, and it isn't until something happens and all of that goes away that they really step in to letting themselves receive all that they can. And we're not just talking about receive all that they can in terms of feeling good. We're talking about more stuff too. What's happening now? Where are you now?
We're mixed. I'm always reaching for a thought that feels better. So instead of feeling sad or upset about the house...
Are you living in an apartment now?
No.
Are you still in the house?
Yeah, we're doing all kinds of work on the house that we never did for years to sell it, which is very weird because we're having fun doing the work on it, but we're doing it to sell it.
So you're putting the house on the market, but it has not been sold.
Next month.
So we're actually having this sort of anxiety attack. We're giving it bigger words in advance. In other words, you haven't actually moved out of the house yet. You're just anticipating. In other words, you're still grappling with the decision?
No, it's the choice we've made. Although if something pops project-wise, we don't have to sell the house. We could choose to sell it. We don't have to. Right now we feel like we have to. And I have a feeling that the relief that was felt about both of us agreeing, yeah, we'll sell the house if we have to sell the house.
All right. Now, so as you think about releasing the house and you think about someone else having the house and you think about the financial relief that you'll have and you think about the extra dollars that you'll have and you think about maybe the change of lifestyle you'll have and you think maybe about some of the freedom of for a while maybe not having so much yard and gardens to tend to and you think about an environment that will be beautiful and you think about all of your lovely things and you think about making the new nest. In other words, we know that you can bring yourself into a place of feeling pretty good about it. And as you think about the environment that it might be in and you think about all of the other things that you still like to do and you think about how most of what's happening in your world will still be the same. In other words, you'll still have the same connections with friends and you'll still have the same. In other words, you're not moving to Alaska or to some other place. You're going to be living in the same general area. So as you reach for these feelings that feel pretty good, now you're pretty much on the right track. But let's say that you are standing in your kitchen one day and you are working on something and you've redone it and it's more beautiful than it's ever been and you have the thought, we wouldn't do this for ourselves so that we could enjoy it, but we are willing to fix it up so that somebody else will then want it. And you have this pang of discomfort because it's something that bothered you the whole time you lived there and you didn't fix it, and so you have that pang of discomfort. It is in that moment that you are now not letting it in. Not letting what in? Not letting in the abundance, not letting in the buyer for the house, not letting in your well-being, not letting in your clarity. So you stop and you just laugh about it and you say, well, I suppose that's the way it always goes. And then you stand and you feel appreciation for all the fun you've had in the kitchen and all the parties you've had with folks around and all the pleasure it's brought you, and you bring yourself to a more soothing place. And then you acknowledge, I'm ready to move on from here.
To learn more about Abraham, visit hayhouse.com to find the books The Law of Attraction and Ask and It Is Given by Jerry and Esther Hicks. You may also visit their website at abraham-hicks.com. Jerry and Esther have weekly and monthly CD or cassette subscription programs where you can receive 74 minutes of new material edited from live seminars similar to what you're hearing here on this program. Join us again next time for another hour of Ask and It Is Given.